Well, we're going to tell you what really happened in Israel, the real news, why the government shut down a messianic Jewish channel within the nation.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, welcome, friends, to our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. Phone lines are open for your Jewish-related questions. If it ties in with anything Jewish, you can call it 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you're a Jewish listener, Jewish viewer, and you differ with my views about Jesus the Messiah or other subjects, or you're someone tuning in and you disagree with my views on Israel, by all means, give us a call. We'll have a friendly discussion, 866-34-TRUTH. A little later in the broadcast, I want to update you about a chant, not surprisingly, a blatantly anti-Israel chant at a Black Lives Matter march in D.C. Again, we separate the movement, the Black Lives Matter movement and organization, we separate that with its anti-Semitic roots, with its Marxism, we separate that from the saying that, yes, Black Lives do matter. We'll come to that and some updates from within Israel itself. But first, I want to tell you the truth about what really happened with Shalanu TV in Israel. This got world attention. It's still getting world attention. Major news in the Jewish world. Here's what happened. This is the true story. Now, you're going to hear the counterfeit. You're going to hear some of the misinformation in a moment. I'm going to give you the true story, and then I'm going to even show you actual document that backs this up. But here's what happened. Hot TV cable network gets into 700,000 homes in Israel, the largest cable network within Israel. God TV, Christian network, very Israel-friendly, stands with Israel, helps support Israel in different ways, donates to help poor kids in Israel, things like that, just because they stand with Israel, period. So God TV was approached by Hot. They had been on the air before in Israel, and Hot TV asked about them coming back on, just as a Christian station, obviously broadcasting to a Christian audience in Israel. And they said, well, what if we did content in Hebrew? Obviously wanted to reach Israelis, Hebrew speakers. What if we did content in Hebrew? And this way, God TV is thinking, believers within the land, local Israeli citizens, local Arab Christians, but primarily local Messianic Jews, they can produce content for their own people in Hebrew in Israel. Wouldn't this be a great opportunity? Hot TV said yes, and they knew exactly what they were dealing with. The leader of Hot TV went to a meeting with over 100 Messianic Jewish leaders in Israel where they announced this. My friend Ward Simpson, a dear friend, close friend, who is the CEO of God TV, Ron Cantor, another dear friend, close friend, in Israel, who's the rep for God TV, regional director in Israel. They're both involved with this. They're amazed that the doors were so wide and graciously open. And then their initial application, they had said for Christian audience, but then they changed that application as the process was going on and said, no, this will be for the larger, broader Israeli audience, and the content will be in Hebrew for Israelis. And that document, I'll show you a screenshot in a little while, was submitted to the government 6 months before they went live. And they went live in April of this year. So the government had this application based on everything. It was straightforward. And Israel allows for religious plurality. And there are historic churches in Israel. There's a branch of Brigham Young University in Jerusalem that's Mormon. Major Baha'i temple in Haifa. Mosques all over. So Israel allows for freedom of religion, but it is illegal to try to convert minors, so to proselytize minors. It is illegal to coerce or to offer financial incentive, like if you will join our religion, we will give you these benefits. That's illegal. Otherwise, you can freely share your faith. Doesn't mean you won't get opposition, especially from some religious Jews, and we'll talk about that, some of the ongoing harassment, but it simply means it's legal. There is no big deal. Asher Bitton, who headed up the relevant council within the government, approved it. And then Ward announced this for a Christian audience, very excited, and talked about wanting to reach all 9 million people in Israel, meaning Jew and Arab. Okay, that's what he meant. Just here's the population, Jew and Arab. The last thing, I know this for a fact, the last thing he was thinking is, we're going to proselytize children when we say 9 million. You know, he just meant we reach the whole nation. That's all he meant. And then he said, we're going to preach the gospel. Well, immediately there was this uproar. Counter-missionaries got upset. Orthodox Jews got upset. Some political leaders got upset. This uproar about it. And these missionaries have come in secretly, and they're trying to do this and that and the whole thing. Well, Ward's thing was, if it was secret, why are we announcing this to an international audience? Nothing secret. But he realized the way he worded things could give misimpressions. He immediately pulled the video and issued an apology in English that was then translated into Hebrew. So there's no ambiguity. And here's the deal. Shalanu has been broadcasting for a couple of months. And you can still watch Shalanu.tv. It's all in Hebrew, but Shalanu.tv. You can see the actual content. 100% perfectly legal. But because of the outcry and the political pressure, Asher Bitton said, you're going to have to resubmit because your initial application, the application we approved, was deceptive. You're going to have to resubmit. Go ahead and do that. And this was his way of saving face his last day in office, because there's new government, so there's someone else in his position now. And then Hot, the cable network, they're in the middle of the controversy. The last thing they need is the controversy just for one station. So they said, no, we're not going to let you reapply. That's what really happened. Now, here's the way it's being presented by those who want to play with fear and monetize and popularize these fears, and will spread all kinds of lies and deceptions to do it. Here is Rabbi Tovia Singer, who is a counter-missionary. That's what he does. He is a counter-missionary rabbi. He's not been a congregational rabbi. He's not known for putting out wonderful books in Jewish thought or philosophy. He's a counter-missionary rabbi. That's what he does. That's who he is. So he's got to instill fear about the missionaries are coming, and oh, they're secretly coming for your children, and oh, they're using TV as a backdoor to come in. He's got to do that, right, in order to have a platform. If there's no missionaries, you don't need a counter-missionary, right? So here he is on a show called Tanakh Talk, and here's his description of what's going on.
Well, you know, today's a very special day, because something that the viewers are very familiar with is that Israel was really, the citizens of this country were faced with very serious danger from not any missionaries, but missionaries who secured a cable channel on Hot TV. And their intent was to convert all the Jews here in Israel to Christianity. And in fact, its CEO and President Ward Simpson made it very clear that we've raised the money for this, we've secured a 7-year lease, and we intend on converting 9 million Jews to Christianity. That's everybody.
All right, so first thing, again, when Ward said 9 million, he just meant we're trying to reach everyone in Israel, Jew and Arab. We have access to the people. That's all he meant. There is zero, 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 zero content on Shalanu TV that has any connection whatsoever with children or is trying to reach children. And I know the people involved. They know the law. They live by the law. They are Israeli citizens. Some of them are Sabras. They have lived by this law always carefully, and they honor it and respect it. You don't proselytize children. Ward never meant it. Oh, but you got to make it as if he did. And then, rather than Messianic Jews who observe the Sabbath, who honor their heritage, although they do not practice traditional Judaism, rather than saying Messianic Jews are sharing their faith with fellow Jews about Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, no, trying to convert everyone to Christianity. All right, now it gets even worse. Look at what Tovia says.
As men, women, children, the elderly, and of course, evangelizing children in Israel is completely illegal. Now, that doesn't prevent missionaries from going to schoolyards and so on where children play, and hand them out.
They actually lied to the council about it, right? I mean, totally denied that that was their goal. And even though they've got them caught on video saying exactly their intent.
Gentlemen, you are peddling lies, capital L-I-E-S. First, missionaries going to children in Israel and secretly trying to... Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Tovia Singer, you made a statement. Name for me one Messianic Jew in Israel. One, just one. One Messianic Jew in Israel who has ever done that, has gone to a children's playground and has secretly tried to proselytize children. Name me one. Doesn't exist. Does not exist. And there was no lying, as I will show you what is on the application. That is what matters. That was the intent. That is what is also on the broadcast. And not only so, Christian missionary, you find me a Christian missionary, lives in Israel. I'm not talking about some weirdo that gets off the plane thinking they're Elijah the prophet. Christian missionary in Israel. Show me one that is guilty of going to schoolyards and secretly trying to missionize children. Okay, one more clip from Tovia. You got to dig it in even deeper and get people scared.
Now, in Israel, there's a law that you can't evangelize minors, as I mentioned. So this is completely against the law. And the idea was to have what's called, they call it Shalanu, which means ours. So that was the God TV station here in Israel on channel 182. The idea was to penetrate 700,000 homes here in Israel and convert children to Christianity, as well as their parents and the elderly.
Blatant, bald-faced lies. 100% untrue. All you need to do is go to Shalanu.tv, because the digital station is up, even though the TV network is down. Go to Shalanu.tv and watch the content. Get someone that knows Hebrew to explain what's going on. Never, ever a thought, intent, desire, effort to reach the children. You don't do that in Israel, and these are Israelis operating by the law. The shutting down of Shalanu TV was illegal and unethical. More to come.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to Thirdly Jewish Thursday broadcast on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to go to the phone shortly and then bunch more things I want to talk to you about within Israel. So you might say, well, if this is illegal, if this is unethical, why isn't God TV challenging it in court? Because they so encourage Christian support of Israel, because they do not want to put Israel in a bad light, because they recognize this was just a few people strong-arming things. It does not speak for the nation as a whole, which would care less. Broadcast what you want to broadcast. The nation is very much into pluralism and diversity outside of the very religious Jews. The nation as a whole, fine, whatever. Talk about whatever you want to on TV. That would not be an issue. But God TV felt it better to stand down than to challenge this in court and to try to make Israel look bad. That's one thing. Second thing, they realize that all of the publicity from the counter-missionaries and the major Jewish publications and the larger Jewish world, that all the publicity has drawn far more attention to the issue which they want to discuss, namely, who is Yeshua? And is Yeshua the Messiah of Israel? That all that's happened has drawn more attention to this issue and to the broadcast than probably 10 years of broadcast could have done. So all those that thought, hey, we shut this down, what you did is actually open a much bigger door for many more to be reached and many more to be touched. And in fact, we're getting the word out now about Shilano.tv. I'm almost 1,000% sure that the digital network will reach far more than the TV network would have. So it would have been great to have, for the first time, a channel within Israel, produced primarily by Israelis within the land, all in Hebrew. That was a first. But the fact is, the message is going out. Can't stop the message. Can't muzzle the good news. And with curiosity and attention drawn to this, I'm sure it's going to produce more good fruit and more Jewish people discovering Yeshua as the Messiah than ever before. Let me show you a screenshot, though. I asked Ron Kantor, please send me a copy of the final document, the one that was reviewed and approved by government officials, and the one that was submitted about 6 months before the broadcast went on. And this is the final document. Let's just take a look at this, all right? As Ron Kantor explained to me, that is a section about the nature of the channel, C 1.2 and 1.5. And to be clear, it was not changed just before we went on air, but in July 2019, over half a year before we went on air. Then the final license was sent April 2020, and there was no significant change that I am aware of. And as I'm looking at this, okay, 1.2, it says that this is intended for an Israeli audience, Lekal Tzofim B'Yisrael. This is intended for an Israeli viewing audience. All right, and the final point, 1.5, further articulates that. So no ambiguity, nothing illegal, nothing deceptive. They said, this is what we're going to do. And if you watch the channel, that is what they are doing. So the bad news is some people were able to shut something down illegally and unethically and claim that there was deception. That was face-saving. There was no deception. That's the bad news. The good news is the attention this has drawn, the discussion this has provoked is far, 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 far greater. The counter-missionaries talking about it, talking about one or two in particular. This has been far more effective for getting the message out, and far more fruit will come out of it. So we'll expose the lies. I'll expose the lies of counter-missionaries, absolutely, without hesitation. At the same time, we recognize God is using this for greater good. The message will continue to grow in Israel. More and more Jewish people will discover Yeshua as their Messiah right in the midst of being Jews in Israel. In fact, my friends that made Aliyah to Israel, if they were not believers in Jesus, never would have. They would have been secular Jews in America. They may have intermarried and assimilated. Now they're married to fellow Jews, fellow Israelis. They are living in Israel. They are serving in Israel. They are raising their children in Israel. Their children are fighting in the IDF. Their children speak Hebrew before they speak English. They are doing this. Why? Because Yeshua changed their lives and reconnected them to their Jewish roots. And Israel as a whole, don't blame Israel as a whole for this. This is a political thing. Just like you get political corruption in America and every other nation, you have it in Israel. That's what you're dealing with here. Don't let the counter-missionaries deceive you. And I will have a full editorial on this as well in a major Israeli publication within the next few days. So stay tuned. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, let me just say this last thing. We are on the front lines. And we're on the front lines with your help. And the gospel, the good news, is to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So stand with us, help us. Counter-missionaries want to play on your fears and raise money off your fears and support your work based on that. I want to encourage you and say, hey, together, friends, we're making a difference. So stand with us. If you believe in Jewish ministry, if you believe in reaching the lost sheep of the house of Israel, if you believe in standing with us as we expose the lies of the counter-missionaries. And by the way, there are counter-missionaries who are friends of mine, who are not liars, who are not deceivers, who operate with integrity, and we have our differences. In fact, I was just telling my team right before we went on the air that Tovia Singer is an outlier in that respect in terms of the deception and the lies. The gentleman that I deal with, the counter missionary rabbis I dealt with, I've dealt with for, in some cases, decades, are men of integrity. I trust their honesty. We just have very, very deep differences about Yeshua and all those things that relate to that. But where there are lies to expose with the Tovia Singer and others, we'll do it. We'll do it. And his minions and followers will come after us. That's just fine. Truth is going to triumph. Hey, for those listening, give me your best ear. Those watching, look right in my eyes. Truth is going to triumph. Truth is going to triumph. Yeshua will be exalted among his own people in Israel. And there will be mass turning of Jewish people to recognize him as Messiah. As surely as I sit here and speak, it will happen. So I want to invite you, partner with us. If you're watching on Facebook, there's a donation button right on the screen there, right under the video. You can click on that. If you're watching on YouTube, right at the bottom of the chat, there's a dollar sign. You can click on that. Every gift of every size helps us reach more people even more effectively and helps us bring the good news of the Messiah to our own Jewish people. Also, if you are listening, podcast, radio, go to our website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate. And the first fruits of these funds that go in will help us stand tall, reaching our people with the good news of Messiah. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go over to Hawaii. Derek, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, how's it going, Dr. Brown? I had a question pertaining to Messiah's return. Do you believe that he will usher in the millennial kingdom as a political military leader that's coming out of Israel? Or do you believe it's going to be a lot more extravagant? You know, he's coming in the clouds, and that being a literal thing.
I literally expect him returning to the clouds. He's certainly not going to arise in Israel as a political military leader. That would have been, if Jesus was not the Messiah, we'd still be looking for a Messiah within Israel, a great rabbi, teacher, maybe a miracle worker, but he would lead the nation in obedience to Torah, and he would regather the exiles and build the temple, and he would fight the wars of the Lord. That would be the traditional Jewish anticipation outside of Yeshua. No, Acts 1 is clear that as you saw him go up, you will see him come down the same way. And Zechariah 14 is explicit. His feet will touch on a Mount of Olives. 2 Thessalonians 1 is explicit. He will come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who don't know God. So he will come in judgment of the wicked, the nations that come up to destroy Jerusalem. He will fight against them. We will be caught up together with him as he returns to descend to the earth with him. The Jewish people will be turning to him and crying out, recognizing him as Messiah. And then the survivors of the nations that attack Jerusalem will populate the millennial kingdom, and with Israel in the center of it. So I expect it to happen quite literally, as literally as he came the first time, as literally he will come the second time and establish the millennial kingdom. And then at the end of that, bring us into the eternal age.
Right. And I guess the reason why I was asking is, you know, you brought up Zechariah, you know, his feet will be standing on the Mount of Olives. I was just wondering, is it going to even be much of a war, or is it just going to be because I even, you know, heard some theories, you know, it's going to be somewhat like a nuclear war because, you know, those who come against God are going to, you know, their flesh, their eyes are going to be consumed and their tongues in their head.
Right. Well, that's head. Not Zechariah 14 is not talking about that. That's in the millennial kingdom, speaking of those that will not come up to worship God in Jerusalem. So it's certainly not talking about a nuclear war there. But if you look earlier in Zechariah 14, it talks about half of Jerusalem being captured. It talks about women suffering. So if this ties in with Gog Magog in Ezekiel 38-39, yeah, it looks like there will be a real war, real uprising. How long it will last, I don't know. The exact nature of it, I don't know. I just know that there'll be upheaval all over the whole world, that Israel will be right in the middle of it, but that God will come and rescue his people who will be crying out to him, recognizing Yeshua as the Messiah. And that gives me hope and encouragement because God will keep his word, his faith. Hey, thanks for asking.
want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to our Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast. I've got a special announcement, and I almost forgot to make it. Baker Books, Chosen Books, publisher of the book that Craig Keener and I wrote last year, Not Afraid of the Antichrist, While We Don't Believe in a Pre-Tribulation Rapture, Baker decided for a few days to reduce the price of the ebook to $1.99. Yeah, $1.99 for like a $20 book. And it's right now on Kindle, on Amazon, the number one bestseller in Christian prophecy, theological eschatology, and Christian eschatology. I don't know how long it's going to last, but jump on it. Tell your friends. You say, what do you make on this, Dr. Brown? We don't make anything. When a publisher puts a book out like that, you don't make anything. It just gets it to more people. You say, why do they do it? To get it to more people. And then if more people like it, more people tell us about it, and more people ultimately buy it. But they do it to get it to more people. So this is really cool. I mean, the day of ebooks allows publishers to do this. So take advantage of it. Wherever you get your ebooks, it's available. But I'm just looking at Kindle now, number one in Christian prophecy, theological eschatology, and Christian eschatology. So Not Afraid of the Antichrist, Michael Brown, Craig Keener. Grab the book now. Today is July 2nd. So if you're listening on the podcast like a week later, you missed the opportunity. But go for it while you have the chance. All right. I'm going to go to the phones momentarily, but we have been warning loudly and clearly. We have been warning that the Black Lives Matter organization is anti-Semitic. We have been warning that it strongly stands against conservative biblical values, that it is pushing a Marxist agenda, that if you are a Bible believer, if you are a conservative Christian, you want to separate yourself from the organization. You absolutely want to separate yourself from the organization. Proclaim loudly and clearly Black Lives do matter, but separate from the organization. It is not something you want to be part of, and it's only a matter of time before it will turn on you. Unless you are anti-Semitic, unless you are queer-affirming, it will turn on you. So this is a BLM march in D.C., and this week, I want you to hear what is being chanted. Let's listen.
Israel, we know you. You murder children too. Israel, we know you. You murder children too.
So this is supposed to be a BLM march. Well, it's going to tie in with Palestinian Day of Rage and anti-Israel sentiments and the roots of the BLM organization, decidedly anti-Semitic, supporting BDS, boycott, divestment, sanctions of Israel, hostile to Israel, radically pro-Palestinian. And by the way, if you're pro-Bible, you care about the Israelis, you care about the Palestinians, and want to see a good, just solution for their difficulties and challenges, all right? But this is what the movement is about. It is not something you want to be part of. So separate the cause of standing with Black Americans from the BLM movement / organization. Israel murders children. We know who you are. Yep, that. And how much does it take to go from there to violence against Jews? Just wondering, if you really think Israel is murdering children, how much of a gap is it? Well, soon enough they get back to their main chant, but now they're going to try to incorporate a Palestinian chant as well. Let's listen. Yeah, they had a bit of a hard time squeezing in Palestinian Lives Matter. How about Jewish Lives Matter? While you're shouting, do Jewish Lives Matter? How about adding that into the equation? How about Israeli Lives Matter? Can't say that. Yeah, so just for those who wonder why we warn, here is yet another illustration. All right, let us go back to the phones. Hang on, I'm getting there right now. And we will go over to, let's go to Fredericksburg, Virginia. Luigi, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. I am in full agreement the way you're speaking and Tovia Singer, those guys, and whatever. You right on, brother. So what I want to say is something very special. And for one thing, I am totally sold out to Jesus, the only way, the God, the name above every name, the only potentate. Just so you know, I'm going to try to lay this important thing out, who Ben Joseph is. And now, I didn't read any commentaries on this till the Lord revealed it to me, okay, since you do believe in revelation knowledge. I've known the identity of that witness for 40 years. There's no mistake about it. If you were to lay out all the scriptures, you'd come up with the answer without even telling you his name. The two witnesses, Elijah's one of them. You'd be surprised to know the other one is a New Testament. There's nobody else qualifies than eyewitnesses, Revelations 11. I will give power unto my two witnesses. And what did Jesus say? You are to be my witnesses. So I know a lot of people think it's Moses. It's not Moses. He's not going to give them two Old Testament witnesses. Elijah, because he was the one at a time of apostasy, and he promised Elijah's coming before the great day of the Lord, right? Notable day of the Lord. John the Baptist doesn't fit. There's no reincarnation in the Bible. Okay, he said, no, I am not. You know, Elijah, they asked him, are you that prophet? He said, no. It's that prophet now. I'm not going on the other side. He has to be Jewish, okay? I know your discussions with a lot of this Islamic people trying to say something else. So, but I've always had a hard time with, I didn't have a hard time with it, but I kept praying. I said, Lord, they're going to think I'm a heretic if I say somebody besides Jesus. Now, carefully, when Jesus said, you will not see me again when he wept over the city till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, Jesus is Lord. He's actually talking about the Jews that acknowledge the two witnesses. They come in the name of the Lord. Okay?
Yeah, let me just jump in and tell you why I respectfully differ. Okay? First, I don't believe we can be dogmatic about two witnesses in the book of Revelation for many, many reasons. And you could even argue about larger interpretation of the book of Revelation. But blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord is simply quoting from Psalm 118, and it simply means we welcome you as the Messiah. That's all that it means. That's why they said those words when he made his triumphal entry initially. They welcomed him with the words, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Yes, he himself is Lord, but it only means we welcome you as Messiah. That's what's being said. It's not about two witnesses. It is.
It's difficult, but there has to be another prophet. Jesus is more than a prophet. He even said that about John the Baptist. Okay, but let's talk about Ben Joseph. I realize his genealogy because one of the dreams of Joseph was not fulfilled. This is unique because I didn't go to the commentaries. When God gave me the revelation, I went there and nobody got it.
All right, but just hang on. Hang on one second. With all respect, okay? If someone claims they have something by revelation, how do we argue against that?
I got the scripture.
Okay, so we
one
go back to
scripture. One of the dreams of Joseph was not fulfilled.
And which dream was that?
The one he said, you know, your sheaves will bow down to my sheaves, singular. That fulfills that part about the final witness. He's Ben Joseph. That when I heard that, I didn't. When God gave it to me, I went and I was surprised that they were talking about it. Some people were saying two messiahs. I believe in one messiah. Of course, had to be the Lamb first.
Yeah,
and then he's coming as the King of Glory.
Right. So to jump in, the dreams of Joseph are dreams. Okay. It's not specific history, they're dreams. And the dreams were fulfilled with his family bowing down before him, all right, that was ultimately fulfilled. Now, the whole idea that Judaism has two messiahs, a messiah son of Joseph who suffers fighting in the last great wars and then is raised from the dead by messiah son of David, and that's a whole other subject and something that's fascinating discussion. And can we tie in to help a Jewish person see where messiah son of Joseph can apply to Jesus and help, you know, help them bridge that gap? That's a whole other discussion. But I appreciate your zeal in this and feeling the Lord showed you something. I just encourage you to keep studying Scripture and praying about it to get further clarity, all right? But thank you for the call. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. See, if you say to me, the Lord showed me that the verse means thus and such, I have two ways of responding. The first way is, well, let's look at the verse. Let's look and see. And that's the right response. That's the right response. Well, let's look. Let's study as carefully as we can, English, Hebrew, Greek, whatever background, context, and let's see. Did the Lord give you an insight on that? Maybe he did. But let's see what the text says, because that's something that matters. The other alternative is I say, no, the Lord showed me you're wrong. That's like the anti-hyper-charismatic response. And I'm not saying Luigi's doing that. He's saying, well, let's look at Scripture. So that's what I'm seeking to do. But that's the other way to come at it, right? To say, well, you said the Lord showed you. I say he didn't. And my reason for doing something like that would be to say, we have to look at what the Bible says. If we're going to discuss doctrine, if we're going to discuss Scripture, we're going to have to look at what the Bible says. It's one thing if you say, I was praying. I didn't know if I should take this job opportunity or not. And the Lord said to me, don't take it. Something better is coming. Don't take it. Well, maybe the Lord showed you that. But if you're going to say the Lord showed me what a verse in the Bible means, then let's look at the Bible and study it and see and investigate it. And maybe you do have an insight, but that insight will then be confirmed by Scripture. And if you want to say, and Luigi didn't say this, if you want to say, well, the Lord showed me, that's all that matters, then it's, well, the Lord showed me you're wrong. Because if you're telling me the Lord showed you what a verse says and we can't even look at the verse, then I'm telling you the Lord didn't show you. So there. All right, we'll be back with your calls and an update about a Messianic congregation in Israel. Remember, stand with us by clicking on the donation button on Facebook, the dollar sign on YouTube, as we take the good news of Messiah to the Jewish race. And also to the Gentiles.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Songs of Israel. Michael Brown here on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. By the way, we'll be live tomorrow, God willing, taking your calls as always, even though some are winding down for the July 4th weekend. So we plan to be live, ready to take your calls. And then after radio tomorrow, plan to do a YouTube chat, our exclusive weekly YouTube chat. So a lot of time to take your questions, get with you tomorrow. There's a congregation in Ashdod, a Messianic Jewish congregation. And for years now, ultra-Orthodox Jews have sought to disrupt. They have gone to the houses of people involved and prayed and chanted outside. They have surrounded the building and things like that. And again, Israel is not a perfect society. And in some places, the police are just not going to deal with the ultra-Orthodox. And the Messianic Jews get mistreated. It's no surprise. It happened in Jesus' day. It happened in Peter's day. It happens. We keep standing and the Messianic community keeps getting stronger. Well, here's a headline with a neat update. And the update is that Israeli congregation wins restraining order after 9 years of harassment from an anti-evangelism group. They finally said, okay, if the police aren't helping us, we're going to court. And thankfully, the Israeli courts responded righteously and said, you can't harass these people. You can't do that. So here are the courts standing with the rights of Messianic Jews in Israel. That's positive. All right, let us go to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Scott, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. How are you, sir?
Doing well, sir. Thank you.
Glad to hear it. I had a verse. I've been wondering about the New Testament and the Old Testament, and I found a verse that ties the two together, but can't really understand it. It's Matthew 13, verse 52.
Yeah.
Every teacher, this is the new Living Translation, second edition, but anyway, it says, every teacher of religious law who becomes a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like a homeowner who brings from his storeroom new gems of truth as well as old.
Yeah. So what he's saying there.
Any thoughts on that?
yeah, sure, Scott. It's a great verse. He's saying that someone who's a teacher of the law, someone who is a Torah teacher, so he knows the Hebrew Scriptures, he knows the Jewish Bible, he's grounded in that. Now he comes to faith in the Messiah. Now he recognizes who Yeshua is. He's like someone who out of his treasures is bringing old and new. He's drawing on the riches and the beauty and the wisdom of the Tanakh, the Hebrew Bible. He's looking at the insights that God has given him as a part of the nation of Israel to whom were entrusted the oracles of God. He's drawing on that, and he's drawing on new life in the Messiah. He's drawing on the new revelation that comes with the Brit Chadashah, with the new covenant, and he's doing all of that and being able to put it together. It's something very special and beautiful, and that is what Jesus is talking about. Hey, Scott. Thank you, as always, for your questions. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go over to Levi in Akron, Ohio. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Brown. The question I have about Tobias Singer, as much as I know about him, I don't know if this is true or not. Is it true that he kind of handpicks his opponents that he debates with, that he actually pulls that stunt?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, that's an open secret. Now, he has debated people like Craig Evans, a recognized New Testament scholar, and things like that. But, of course, he's refused to debate me now going on for a second time in public, going on almost 30 years now. And for the details on that, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, type in Singer, and we set the record straight. And my door remains open to this day to have a public debate anywhere, anytime, with formal rules and moderation, with joy, absolutely. And his reasons for not doing it are either outright lies.
Let me just finish.
But okay. I can tell you for a fact that there are other Messianic Jews who know the material well, who are articulate. They could debate him in English, or if he speaks Hebrew, they could debate him in Hebrew, and he won't go near any of them. Now, he will get a Christian minister and debate that person. And so he will absolutely do that. And I know for a fact, one university a couple hours away from me, he contacted them and said, I'd like to come on your campus and debate you know, a leader, about, you know, a scholar about Jesus. And they contacted me and said, would you do it? I said, yeah, but he won't. I guarantee you he won't. And they said, okay, we'll hold the debate here, we'll host it, and you'll debate Dr. Michael Brown. Nope, won't do it. But it's not just me. There are others. So he will, in that sense, handpick. So you're a Christian, you're devoted to the Lord, you love the Lord, but you're not used to dealing with Jewish objections or you don't know Hebrew, bam, you're a candidate. He'll debate you in a heartbeat. But a Messianic Jewish scholar or a Messianic Jewish leader that's capable of debating the issues, for years he won't go near any of us. Absolutely.
Well, I listened to your debate on YouTube, where it obviously must have been on the radio when Sid Roth was moderating.
Yeah.
And then evidently there was a second debate, but you promised him you wouldn't put it out there.
The first one was at a house of a Russian Messianic Jew in Maryland some months before that one. And that's the one. It was just recorded by people there. There were three cassette tapes, and he asked me not to release that, so we agreed not to. And then the subsequent one, the one that was on Sid Ross, that's the one that was released.
Okay. Well, why would you grant a request like that? I'd love to debate him myself.
Yeah.
I don't see them coming anywhere near me either, but I would never want to give them that oath, frankly.
Yeah, well, the fact was, well, it wasn't an oath. It was, we were interacting at that point. We were interacting. It was civil. I was seeking to be honorable. None of us signed an agreement that we would be doing a debate that day and it would be available to the public. He was kind of embarrassed with how he did. And we were having, you know, dialogue, and then there was going to be a subsequent public debate. So I was happy to be honorable. I always seek to be honorable. And I don't even know if we have those tapes. But in any case, the bottom line is he's refused to debate me all these years. But he's constantly interacting with this average Christian. Right? People say, what do I say to Toby Sayre? It's like, why are you witnessing to the guy? Pray for him. He's heard the arguments. He's rejected the arguments. Now, I want to say again, there are counter-missionary rabbis that I've interacted with for years that are honorable, that don't rely on cheap tricks and lies, and that they don't debate publicly because they have a no-debate policy or because they think that debates don't really help advance an issue or because of the negative history of Christians forcing Jews to debate over the centuries and things like that, or professing Christians forcing this. So I respect that, and they're honorable people, okay? They're honorable people. So I am not making a blanket accusation against all kind of missionaries. Now, folks like Yad Lachim in Israel, they're unethical, and they will do what they can to shut you down, all right? But the folks I've dealt with for many years, Toby is the exception. So I want to say that so that you don't think that all kind of missionary rabbis are unethical and practice the same kind of things that he does. Do I have time? Yeah, I've got time here. Let's go over to Stephen in New York. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I'm a Patreon supporter. I have a quick question for you. Nice talking to you again.
Yeah.
Our family started to have some phone call get-togethers from this pandemic, and
yeah.
We've been doing some praying together on the phone. A lot mm-hmm. of us are from different parts of the country, and I thought it would be a good idea if my dad could give us all a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that the number 6, 22, 24 through 26 would be a good one.
Yeah.
But my brother objected and said, no, that's a blessing that Aaron gave to Israel, and it's definitely not appropriate for us.
Of course it is. Of course it is. There's nothing that is specifically about Israel that cannot be applied to all of God's children in the Messiah. And not only so, but 2 Corinthians tells us, 2 Corinthians 1, that as many promises as God has made, they are yes in the Messiah. So if it was a specific thing about, say, physical territory, you know, you will inherit this physical land and so on, or this particular geographical location is yours, that'd be a different story. Or, you know, drive out the Canaanites. You don't go drive out your ungodly neighbors. But the beautiful blessing of Erechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, the Lord bless you and keep you. I mean, that, and as it goes on, that reflects the language of the Psalms. That reflects larger promises in Scripture. My friend Warren Marcus, as he began to teach on this, saw the Lord moving in amazing ways. He has a whole book where he opens this up. So, with all respect to your brother and his concerns, this is a beautiful blessing. It's a wonderful blessing. And if you want to add in a benediction like 2 Corinthians 13, 14, which specifically speaks of the grace of the Lord Jesus, then fine. But by all means, use it. All right, friends, we're out of time. Phone lines would be open tomorrow as we come your way live. So if you didn't get through today, we'll do our best to get to you tomorrow. And then we'll be doing a live YouTube chat after the radio broadcast. God bless. Change the world.